Got Brother Eddie going to be sharing the word today, so Amen. I know he's always prepared himself. He's got a nice little folder here. It's all printed out on computer. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, we thank you for the giftings that you have placed upon each one of us. And Lord, may we always be mindful of those. And Lord, may we stir them up, even as Donna had that word earlier, Lord, that there was a stirring pot, that you were stirring gifts. And Father, I pray right now that you stir the gift that is upon our brother, Lord, the gift of preaching and teaching, and Lord, that you'd stir our hearts to receive this word. Father, bless every word that comes out of his mouth. Lord, may we be doers of the word and not just hearers of it. Father, may we take this word and put it into action. Father, we ask and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and they all said, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Well, good morning. This morning, unbeknownst to me, Brian is opening us in prayer, and in that psalm, he talked about God's promises. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, because that's what I'm going to talk about today, the promises of God. That's what he put on my heart. And so we are all accustomed to promises. We are also accustomed to seeing them made and broken. Anyone who has lived for a number of years would certainly never lay claim to having kept every promise made. There are many reasons why this is true. Sometimes we just forget. And sometimes we're just negligent. And other times it's just due to circumstances beyond our control, which is understandable. And still, another circumstance might be, as this example, a broken-hearted young lady might say, but he promised he'd marry me. And the response comes back, yes, I know, but I changed my mind. That happens a lot. Unfortunately, people do change their minds, and they do break promises, and sometimes that can even break a heart. Well, there's one person that'll never break a promise. There are many, many promises of God in the Scriptures, about 3,573 of them. And I'm going to cover every one of them today. So I hope you guys brought a lunch. I don't want to leave no promise unsaid. Marty back there, he goes, is he kidding? Actually, I was going to ask the pastors if they would open up the miscellaneous spending fund and go get about 10 Crave cases from White Castle and bring them here so we don't have to take a break. It's going to take me that long to go through 3,573 promises. I'm just kidding. Now, I'm going to cover seven promises that God made to man. Okay? So in each promise, God pledges that something will or will not be done, given, or come to pass. Now, these promises are not flippant, casual promises such as we often make. These promises of God are rock solid, true commitments made by God himself. And we all know that God will never go back on his word. Amen? Because God is faithful. The recipients, us, of the divine promises can have full assurance that what God has pledged will indeed be realized. In Numbers 23:19a, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. What God says, God does. You can bet your life on it. The contour of Jesus' life while living on earth was shaped by his trust in the power of the promises of God. When Jesus said in John 6:48, I am the bread of life, or in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. And even in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He did so fully realizing that he had been empowered with this right by the Father who had promised to raise him from the grave. I mean, Jesus knew there was no stopping him. No stopping him. God had made that promise to him. And he gives us those very promises too. You know, we should never quit. Like Alex was up here praying about, don't give up. Even when your flesh doesn't want to do it, you got to press forward. Seek out that spirit within you that is intervene with God, and that'll give you the power you need to push forward. Jesus was very confident in who he was and what his calling was because his faith was in the Father's promises that even in the end, Jesus would have victory over death. Amen? He knew that. He knew that going in. Now, what can be said about the promises to us? Well, first of all, he said he has promised to supply every need we have. Let me repeat that. He has promised to supply every need we have. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Now, in hearing that, because I'm going to share a little story here in a second. Now, notice God has obligated himself only, and I say only, to the extent of our needs. That would include food, clothing, shelter, companionship, love, protection, guidance, and salvation through Jesus Christ. It would not include the multiplicity of luxuries that we have come to think of as needs. Now, I remember when I was a real young Christian, I remember that scripture that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all things will be added unto you." Well, you know where my mind was going. Oh, Cadillac, nice mansion, big money, big wallet. Not as big as Bob's, but big wallet. Those were the things going in my mind. I'm like, yeah, I'll serve God and get all these things. But it took Pastor John one day to come up here and actually talk about that scripture. And he told me that the closer I get to God, right, and we become more Christ-like, then our needs don't matter anymore, our personal needs. Our hearts will be like Christ, and we'll want to do whatever God wants. Amen? It took me a while to get there, brother. Trust me, man. I was thinking, man, where's the big car, man? Where's the big house? I'm serving God. But again, it would not include the multiplicity of luxuries that we have come to think of as needs. And I know Jim Walls can agree with me on this, that you poor guys that are Michigan fans, God's not going to give you that need to beat the Buckeyes, okay? I just had to throw that in there. I had to throw that in there. Can I get an amen, Jimmy? Amen. God has promised that his grace is sufficient for us. That's the second one. His grace is sufficient for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In fact, he has made provision for our salvation by his grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8a says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." We got to have faith, right? We got to have faith. You've got to have faith. Alex was stating that. Even if you don't see him, you don't hear him, you got to have the faith that he's there. Right? I mean, what God says is true. His word says, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you." His word also says, I'll never give you more than what you can bear. So we just got to be able to be, you know, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but we can't be sissy Christians, man. I mean, you know, we're warriors. Warriors got to be tough. You know, sometimes we get wounded in battle, but we just got to push on. We can't get a scratch and say, "That's it, I'm out. It's too much for me." You know, I mean, Jesus said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." He didn't say, "Let's go down the yellow brick road." He said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." I want to share that about my wife when I think his grace is sufficient for us. My wife has that illness, and she knows that God promised her that he was going to heal her, but he didn't say when. But his grace is sufficient for her. So when she stumbles or the ache arm, that's Carmen's little joke, like when Donna's thinking of something and she can't quite get it right. It's like, and finally it goes. But, you know, I even tell the people at work, you know, I got to make fun of it, you know, because if you take it too serious, you know what I mean? I don't take pride and joy in making fun of my wife, but if it makes her happy, then it makes me happy, you know? I say that in truth, brother. I wouldn't be up here blaspheming, brother. It's true. Now, my son Nick, that's a different story. I'm not even going to do that up here. But anyways, and through it all, she gives glory to God. Now, I will share one thing about my son Nick. I mean, he used to be a little fireball, man. He was getting into the word and that, and when she got hurt, he stopped. You know, and we're like, what's up, man? And the fact of the matter is he's mad at God. You know? Which is understandable in a young Christian. You know what I'm saying? He's mad because of what happened to his mom. You know? He's like, you know, you guys did the youth, yeah, you do church, you do teachings, you do home groups and that, and look at Ma, she's struck down with that illness. I said, well, there's illness in the world, son. That's not God's fault. Yeah, but he hasn't healed her. I said, but he said he would. But who are we to tell God when to heal her? He's the creator. He'll find the divine time and the hour. I said, but here's the funny thing. You're sitting here saying how your ma does this and your ma does that and your ma does this, and she has that illness and she's still doing it. I said, you ought to be thanking God that she's not laid up in bed and not walking. Amen? Hey. Luke walked around with a limp all his life. How come God didn't heal him? But he still did what he had to do. We can't let things like that stop us, you know? I mean, I look at her, and she's like an inspiration to me. I mean, if she's not feeling all that good, and she still is there, you know, listening to Carmen cry on the phone for 4 hours, you know, then who am I not to get up here and preach the Word of God or run a home group or something like that, you know? Hey, it is what it is. But God's grace is sufficient, amen? Okay, God has also promised his children will not be overtaken with temptation. Instead, he assures us that that a way of escape will be provided. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That's the Word of God. So when we do fall, it's our fault. It's this flesh that wanted to be submitted under that temptation. Amen? I got another story here. Back when Gary Kivowitz, remember we had that service over at that church that one night? I don't know what for, but we were over there and he had an altar call up. Well, I was struggling with smoking. That's the last sin I gave up with smoking because I really liked it, you know. And so Donna's sitting there nudging me. She's like, go on up there. Go on up there and get prayer. I'm like, no, I ain't going up there, man. You're going to think I'm a sinner. She goes, you are a sinner. Oh, then maybe I'll go up there. So I went up there, and he prayed over me, and he had a word from the Lord. And he said, the Lord said, if you, on your own, can quit, like go through that desert on your own for 3 days, he said, I will solemnly heal you. That was the word given to me by Gary Kivowitz. So I didn't share that word with Donna. You know, I was just like flabbergasted, like, really? So that's when I was working at the parking lots downtown. I had been laid off from GM. And so here I am in this little booth, a one-man booth. It was one of the Detroit city lots. And these people all knew I was a smoker, right? They'd come up, you know, talk a little bit as you give them their ticket and what have you, man. They're just sitting there smoking. And I'm like, a couple guys, oh, you ain't smoking here? You need some cigarettes? No, no. Get behind me, Satan. For 3 days, I was in the desert in that dumb little booth wanting to smoke so bad. I caught myself walking outside looking on the ground for butts. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh. That I would take a butt off the ground from somebody else's lips just to toke a couple tokes. That's how addicted I was. And not to mention that by the time I got home, oh, my God, yes. That Christianity was out the window when I got home. I was miserable. I was in a bad mood. I was looking for a fight. Her, she's like, that's it, I'm divorcing this bum. She told me later that she said, I'm divorcing him. I don't need to be treated like that, talk like that, blah, 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 blah. Well, then the Lord spoke to her, told her to be quiet, that I was going through a trial, and that he was healing me from smoking. And of course, you know, she's like Carmen crying for 4 hours. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm sorry. Well, lo and behold, that happened back in like 1988. And I've never touched a cigarette since. Never had the craving. And it was his promise. When he makes a promise, he sticks to it. Of course, it was rough. But he'll never give me more than I can bear. That's what his word said. It got close. I ain't going to kid you, man. By that edge. The worst part was looking for cigarette butts, man. That's sad, man. That's somebody walking up. Did you drop something? No, I'm just looking for a cigarette, man. That's low, brother. That's low. Well, that's how desperate we get. Don't lie. Okay. God has promised us victory over death. Hallelujah. Because of Christ's victory over death, the grave is not final. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. This is a long one. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. And that's what we need to share. When we're sharing our testimony and we're trying to win someone over to Christ, we have to let them know that we have a hope that nobody else has. That even when it comes to that final day where the Lord takes us home, that's just the beginning for us. It's okay to grieve. I mean, even Christ, you know, he grieved. But as God's people, we have a profound hope in a future, church. This life here on earth is just the beginning, not the end. So, you know, when we got that, you know, that's what Jesus had. He had that same promise that he knew that all that he was going to do, all that he was going to leave behind, and even going to that cross for us, he was still going to have victory in all that because God promised that. And we have that same promise. This here, we're just doing what Jesus was doing. We're spreading the word, doing miracles, giving, praying, you know, having meetings, fellowship. All that is what we're called to do. But this is just the beginning. When we go home and be with the Lord, man, we're going to be with all the saints, you know, with the angels. We're going to be in heaven. It's going to be beautiful, man. We can't even fathom what it's going to be like. Another promise is God has promised that all things work together for good to those who love and serve him faithfully. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It may be difficult for us to see and understand how this is accomplished at times, but God has promised it and he will deliver. And that's what I was going to share today about Fred and Esther. You know, I remember they got that word that they were going to start this business. You know, and like Esther said, it started from the ground, and it just kept growing. And every endeavor that came up, whether it was a contract dispute or a worker or a new building coming in, they stayed obedient to the word. And, oh, God, the whole way through. And then she just, you know, just this weekend, she got this, another big contract, you know. And I can just see this business expanding. Why? Because it was promised by God. And as long as they stay obedient to God and the pastors, you know, about telling them to make all the decisions together, it's going to flourish. Why? Because God has promised it. He has promised it. And we can receive those same promises. You know, we just have to be obedient to Him and His Word, and it'll come to pass. You know, we've got to remember, God's on our side. He's not the enemy. I mean, sometimes He might ask us to do things that we really don't want to do. That's a whole different situation, a whole other teaching about God asking you to do something and you just don't feel you want to do it. Or the old cliche, oh, I can't do it. Well, the Word of God says we can do all things through Christ Jesus. But God's not a liar. If He calls you to do something, He knows you can do it, right? I just read, He'll never give us more than we can bear. You can do it. It's just that you've never been pushed to the extreme. And I really truly believe that business, you know, Fred, I just see you, brother. I hate to tell you this, bro. But I think your days at Walbridge are coming to an end, son. It's going to be Fred Ramsey conglomerate. I like that. Hey, when I retire, I might come and get a job. I'll be your associate, drive you around. God has also promised that those who believe in Jesus are baptized for the forgiveness of their sins will be saved. Isn't that the goal? We need to be saved. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. I don't know about you guys, but I don't even like that word, condemned. That means like final. I do not want to be condemned. I would rather go through my fears in life of stepping out in God's word than to not do it at all. Right? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You know, we're not going to stop the will of God. I found that out a long time ago, sitting right where you are, brother, right there. You with the glasses. I was sitting right there. And God gave me a word, just like I'm talking to you now. He gave me this word, just like you're hearing me. And I doubted it. I'm like, oh, God would never use me to give a word. Who am I? Right? And you know how you get all excited? You just start sweating. My hands are getting cold. And I wouldn't speak that word, but some woman over there stood up and said the exact same word. So see, God just wanted to bless me, give me confidence that He can use me and speak to me. But I let that go by, but He let me see it, that it really was Him. It wasn't just me thinking that. So see, you can't stop the will of God. He's still going to get it out there, but wouldn't you want to be used by God? I mean, that's great, man, to know that, oh, my Father wants to use me. Man, my wife gave that word this morning about the giftings. We all have giftings. We need to use them. If we don't use them, why do we have them? You know, I used to share that in the youth group a lot. Can you imagine at Christmas Day you got 40 gifts for you and you can't touch them? Are you crazy? But that's how God is. He gives us these giftings, and if we don't open them and use them, why even get them? You know? But He gives them to you because He knows that you can succeed in it. Acts 2:38 says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a win-win. Not only do I get saved, but I get a gift of the Holy Spirit, a counselor who's going to help me through life, that's going to help me make decisions so I don't make mistakes, right? I mean, that's a win-win situation. We just got to repent, be baptized, and be... And we're saved. You know, our sins are forgiven. It's like a bonus, if you will, the way I look at it. I mean, I get the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, remember way back in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. I mean, God spoke through a prophet. No pun against it, against that trout. But I mean, that's the way He spoke to the people. But now we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. God can speak to us. Remember, that veil was ripped in two. So we can come to the Father now. And finally, God has promised His people eternal life. God's unfailing love for us provides eternal life. And of course, probably the most renowned scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And isn't that the goal? That's the ultimate goal. I mean, yeah, we want to be good servants of the Lord. I want to stand before God on that throne with Jesus right there, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. To me, that's all I need to hear. I don't need a crown of jewels. I'll take it, but I don't have to have one. Just for the Lord to tell me that I did a good job with the life He gave me here on earth. And then welcome me into the kingdom and eternal life. John 10:27-30 says, and I love this scripture too. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So Jesus is saying when He has us, no one's going to snatch Him out of His hand. That's how precious we are to Him. You know? It's that precious. Sort of like when I give my wife my credit card. Nothing's going to snatch that out of that hand. Only the machine. Look at Bob. He's like, you know the feeling, brother? Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and call the prayer team up. But in closing, let me appeal to you to seek Him out with all your heart. And you will find Him. Be obedient to His word, and you will know Him more. Pray to Him every day and share your soul with Him, and your prayers will be answered. Live your lives like this so that the promise of God will be yours. Amen? Amen. Well, hallelujah. Father, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that we would be obedient to your word, Lord God. And Father, that these promises that you've given us, Lord God, it's nothing we've earned, but it's just what you promised us. Father, that they would come to pass, Lord God. Father, I thank you for Fred and Esther's job growth there, Lord God. Father, I thank you for all the things, all the blessings that you give your people, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that they would continue to seek you out daily, Lord God, that they would sacrifice for you, Lord, and Father, that they would be blessed by your many, many promises, Lord God. I just ask for a blessing on this congregation, Lord God, as we leave here today. Let our travels be safe, Lord God. And Father, let us just take this word and run with it, Lord God, and share it with others, Lord, for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.